Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Tops, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump Topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Dynasty Happy Hour, presented by Trophy Smack. Use code DHHRING to get yourself a free championship ring. You heard the intro. It was great. So make sure you check out Trophy Smack to get the most amazing trophies in the business. Tyler, you finally have your trophy in hand, do you not?
Yes, and it is huge. It's huge.
What else that's in your hand is huge?
My water bottle, maybe? Nice. I don't know.
20 ounces of fury.
No, the trophies are amazing. The quality is way better than I even expected. I expected great quality. The rings are super heavy, and they are monstrous. I mean, they're the size of two fingers. So the rings are awesome. They're heavy. They're good quality. And also, the trophies are awesome. Great quality. And they come showing you that you can take the topper off. Tim, I know how much you love that. The topper comes separate and you screw it on. Super easy, super, super nice. I'm getting my other one from my other home league coming in like a week or so, and it's all blue. I switched it up. I got the blue football on top. I mean, I'm spoiling my leagues at home. Can't wait. You guys got to do the same. Go to trophysmack.com like our host, who is back, finally. I was just about to say Tim, because you've been gone for so long, Doug, it seems.
Finally. I missed like a week.
Yeah.
It's a week. It felt like long. So much more.
It did.
Well, you know, I'm honored to have that kind of praise come down. So that is very good.
But yes, and they're awesome. Go check it out. Dynasty or DHH ring at trophysmack.com.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm happy to be back. So I'm back for 1 week, and then I'm gone next week because I'm going to be in Vegas on the vacation with the wife for the week. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Checking out Zion National Park, as well as making the trip out to the Grand Canyon. Going to see a couple Cirque du Soleil shows. Probably eat too much food that I shouldn't be, so hopefully not going to gain too much weight because, you know, I gotta try to keep it slim over here. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, which going to that, you are leaving me. And Tim is not going to be available. So it's going to be a solo show by me.
Oh, Han Solo pod.
You know what I should do? I should just do...
See if Chewbacca's available?
Q&A and just do a live YouTube Q&A. I mean, if you guys are up for that, you guys should let me know. Just do a YouTube Q&A. We can make it a podcast. I can answer questions. Do that kind of thing.
I don't know, Tyler. Do we have enough people? I looked at our Patreon account and... Is there gonna be enough people? They don't even want an extra show.
Maybe people don't love us as much as we think.
They
which
should
is
go.
Hard to believe.
You know, all you have to do is open up your browser, go to patreon.com/dynastyhhpod, look at your options, discounts on merchandise, an extra show. Guys, what are you doing here? I know the downloads in the show are good. You know, we need some help. We need some feedback. This laptop is barely running. If I don't have a laptop, you'll never hear my voice again.
Yeah, you should have heard him trying to start that thing up.
We need him.
You should hear him try to start up his laptop. All you hear is be-doo-doo.
It's Windows 7. It's not pretty. It gets the job done for now, but That's all I'm saying. Hey, so this week's show, we're going to go over some news and notes. There was a lot of injuries we want to cover, a lot of fallout this week. And then we want to go over the college corner. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the college players for you Debbie guys. We're not going to go too heavy into it. We've got some mixed feedback, but we're going to keep doing it because, you know, I like to listen. I don't watch a lot of college football. I know a lot of names and things like that, but I like to listen to these guys talk about the college prospects. And then we are going to just kind of freeball it. We're going to freestyle some of the observations from today and just talk some football. So let's jump into some injuries. There was quite a few of them. Now, we won't go in, you know, full length analysis mode here, but just to touch on them. So we had Leonard Fournette leaving the game with a hamstring, which is everyone's greatest fear if you own Leonard Fournette, is that, oh, Leonard Fournette's back. I'm going to put him in my lineup. He gets a ton of carries. He doesn't do anything with them. And then re-injures the hamstring. TJ Yeldon gets 2 touchdowns. And all you fantasy owners just rain down tears as you cry because Leonard Fournette just didn't get the job done for you today. Is this going to be an all-season thing, guys? Do you think, Tim, do you think he's going to be like this all year where you just – it's going to be hard to trust him?
It seemed like this time that Leonard Fournette was actually pushing to get back maybe a little sooner than they seem to be comfortable with. And for whatever happened, for whatever reason, I think he came back probably a week too early. He came back and – obviously, we see what happened. He has the recurring hamstring thing. So as long as the Jaguars and the medical staff do what's right this time and they keep him out until that hamstring is completely better, I don't think he's going to be somebody you can trust until we see him come back. And I think it's probably going to be 4 or 5 weeks from now.
Tyler, from a dynasty perspective with Fournette, is he tumbling down your personal rankings or does this not really affect him all that much in your personal opinion?
A little, but not too much. I mean, I'll probably move... He's up in that upper tier of running backs. I mean, he's probably top 10, but he's going to be lower top 10. And it's just because of what we're seeing. Like I had a lot of faith in him this offseason. I traded for him in a couple leagues. The whole issue is injuries. Like he shows well. He's a hard runner. We love to watch him play, but the whole issue is when do we get to do that? We never get to watch him play. Like Tim said, hopefully they do it right. Hopefully they get this thing healed up. I know he was probably excited to get back and was like, all right, let's do this. Let's suit up. And it probably just was a week away. And now it's probably going to be 3 weeks away or so until we get full Leonard Fournette. And it's frustrating. I mean, he's one of your top running backs on your team and he's not available. So hopefully you do have a TJ Yeldon, but it's a good opportunity to talk to the owner and say, hey, are you as frustrated as a lot of people are? I mean, I could take him off your hands. I got depth. Why don't we make a switch? I'll give you like Mark Ingram. Say, hey, Mark Ingram's coming back from suspension. I'll give you Mark Ingram plus for Leonard Fournette. What do you say? I mean, it's pretty much like Leonard Fournette's on a suspension because hamstring suspending him. But it's tough. And we all know the talent. It's just the injuries keep piling up.
Who has more carries this season, Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook? Go.
Dalvin Cook.
Okay, Tim, what do you think?
I'll go with Leonard Fournette.
Oh, split. I think it's a toss-up. I think it's a push, if you will. I think it's going to be interesting between the two.
See, and with the whole Dalvin Cook thing, I think it was just he was on a pitch count. We don't like to believe he was, but I just think it was a shootout. Minnesota was like, all right, we don't absolutely need him, which I beg to differ. I think he would have been awesome on some swing routes coming out of the backfield in that game. I think they could have used him a ton, but Minnesota decided to make sure he was healthy going into week 5. So I don't blame them, but it had been nice to see him get more touches. He looked good to me as in health wise. He looked like he was running hard. He was hitting the hole hard. It was game situation. Minnesota decided to rest him.
Yeah, that was the only major injury at the running back position this week, which is rare. Usually we have a pile of running back injuries, but that was really the only big one. But the tight end position, oh boy. So I'm just going to give you the rundown and then we'll circle back. So Tyler Eifert broke his ankle. He's done for the season.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt.
It did look pretty gross. Rob Gronkowski injured his ankle. He was out of the game. At that point, they were already up 28 points. So I'm not surprised that they didn't put Gronk back in. They're on a short week. They play Thursday against Indianapolis. So I think Gronk will be just fine. He did come into the game with a bit of an ankle injury. So I think they're just playing it safe there. OJ Howard injured his knee. Initially, it looks like it's not serious, but he is having an MRI on Monday. So fingers crossed, everything is good for OJ. And then last but not least, the out-of-nowhere tight end so far this season, Will Dissly, tore his patella. So I think he's probably going to be missing the majority, if not all of the season, which opens it up for Nick Vinette, who I have in a couple of deep dynasty leagues.
Everybody was hoping it was Vinette instead of Dissly from the beginning. Now it looks like it could happen. So everybody who dropped Vinette, you should go get him again.
and if you're looking for a Bengals tight end, CJ Uzoma's looked really good this year. I know he's been picked up in some of the leagues that we're in. But Tyler Kroft is there as well, and he was serviceable last year. I had him in Capitals Pigs 2 because it's a tight end premium, so I hung on to him a little bit. And Tyler Kroft was a serviceable tight end. So that Cincinnati offense is throwing the ball quite a bit. So there should be some sort of fantasy-relevant tight end on that team behind Tyler Eifert. Man, I felt bad for Eifert. He was on the cart with his mullet. He was crying. Like that, I didn't want to see anyone get hurt because he's had just all sorts of crazy injuries. So the tight end position got beat up pretty big this week. And then at receiver, we had some big names go down with injuries. Will Fuller left the game after he scored a touchdown. He left the game with a hamstring injury, which he was kind of nursing during the week. And this opened up the floodgates for Kiki QT to make his debut and we had 10 receptions for over 100 yards.
Yep.
And I got to give a shout out to Leo Pasiga, who writes for DLF. I'm in a redraft league with him, and he picked up Kiki QT this morning, and I was like, what does Leo know? That's a weird pickup. And then, boom, QT goes off for 10 catches. So that was the pickup that worked out this week, and I was like, wow, what does he know? That's an interesting pickup.
You've been listening to Sigmund Bloom on the Audible,
he loves him.
Is huge on Kiki QT. I mean, huge. He loves him, and Sigmund was one of the reasons why I dug in deeper to him and actually took flyers on him, especially in the UDPL league. I decided to take him late, and hey, you never know. Could pan out.
Great thing about Kiki is you were getting him in the fourth round of rookie drafts this year.
Do you love me? Is he riding?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's riding now. That's for sure.
Oh, my God. I hate that song so much.
I just love the fail videos of people getting like hit by a car and running into a pole as they're doing their video outside of their passenger door.
Oh, yeah.
The car riding.
Those are good.
Another rookie wide receiver that went down, I don't have a lot of details on it, was Dante Pettis, went down with a knee injury. I hope it's not serious because Pettis was one of the guys I loved through the whole process. Even though C.J. Beathard was quarterback today, he didn't look terrible. George Kittle balled out, absolutely balled out, which was nice. And then the big name was T.Y. Hilton. He left early with a chest injury, came back, left with a hamstring injury. Frank Reich pretty much said that he's already not going to be able to play on Thursday night. Yeah. So that's, the passing game. Something Zach Pascal caught a touchdown. I was like, I've never heard of him before. And I was Pasquale.
He's Italian.
The Pasquale with a touchdown. Chester Rogers had a nice game with some receptions. They didn't have Jack Doyle in this one. Eric Ebron does what Eric Ebron does, catch a touchdown. Bad.
When I watched Ebron, the dude made catches that I didn't think he would give a damn about his first 3 years for Detroit. I mean, there's one catch on the sideline he just reached up for and sacrificed his whole body on the sideline, got his feet down, and he knew he was going to take a hit, and he completed the catch, and it was just amazing. Like, I was like, wow, that's Ebron? He's actually doing things like that now? So he definitely caught my eye when I was watching that game.
Yeah, and the last receiver that went out with in concussion protocol was Geronimo Allison. So the Packers didn't have Randall Cobb in this one. And Geronimo Allison actually used the Sit or Start Fantasy app, which I downloaded on the Android store, but you can also find it on iTunes. And I compared Geronimo Allison with John Brown today, and it said to play John Brown. So that's what I was going to do anyway. But I was curious, once Randall Cobb was ruled out, it did change the percentages a little bit because he was in a plus matchup with Buffalo. But he did go out with a concussion in this one. Aaron Rodgers didn't really do too much through the air, so there wasn't any big games really from any of his pass catchers. Jimmy Graham had a touchdown. Rodgers, he's looking human this year. I hate to say it, but
yeah, he's got 1.5 knees.
But he's amazing, Tyler. He should be the best quarterback in the league on no legs.
Here's what I have on the rumor mill.
Ooh.
The Cardinals sat
Eric Decker's cousin. Yeah.
The Cardinals sat Sam Bradford and took both of his knees that equal a half a knee, and they're actually going to put it into Rodgers' hurt knee to complete him having two knees. That's just a rumor. Don't quote me on it. But that's what I'm hearing. I'm not good at math.
Sam Bradford's going to go full Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
Ice cream. What a great movie. So rewatchable, too. Yeah,
one of the best.
Absolutely. So that's going to wrap up our injury and news segment. And news, Josh Gordon caught a couple passes today in an NFL game from Tom Brady.
He did.
A couple third down conversions. They didn't do anything deep downfield with them, but it might be coming.
Cordarrelle Patterson, they did. Ooh.
I love how they're trying to force feed Cordarrelle Patterson. Josh McDaniels play. We'll get into this. We'll talk about it later. I'll table it.
He's all heated.
It. Yeah. So let's do some college corner. Tyler, who do you want to talk about this week from the collegiate standpoint for the Debbie folks out there?
So what I want to hit is everybody's freaking out about this 2020 running back class and just how elite it is. But I think we should definitely calm down and not jump the gun right away. Because you look at players like DeAndre Swift, he had 12 for 50, two touchdowns, and one for 22. He's not getting the touches we all thought. He's not getting those Sony Michel, Nick Chubb type numbers when they were in Georgia. He's not getting a good enough workload for me to feel comfortable yet. I mean, he's still, like, we're talking 2020, so they still got next year to play in college. So maybe pump the brakes a little bit. I know Swift is my 101 still. But, I mean, you got players like J.K. Dobbins, who was 17 for 57 and one. They played Penn State. I don't remember Penn State's defense being, like, eye-opening, life-changing, you know, it's going to destroy your run game. But he also had 2 for 61 and a touchdown, which is nice because you see these running backs catching passes. So we kind of know that they can go into the NFL being true three-down backs, which is nice to see, but... Like I said, where I'm just throwing up the caution flag. Maybe this class might not be that great. I mean, we got Cam Akers, who got 17 for 42, Doug.
Akers has struggled this year. And, I still believe in the talent. I said it on here maybe 3 weeks or a month ago that he looks a little thinner than he did last year. So I think some of his power to run in between the tackles isn't there. He's been caught from behind a couple times. The thing is, though, that Florida State offensive line is awful. If you watch any Florida State games, and I watch most of them, they are one of the worst units in the country at protecting DeAndre Francois, as well as run blocking. So there's a little bit to be said there. I still believe in the talent with Akers, but I think if you're in a Devy league, like in a Capitalist Pigs league with Scott Fish, it might be time to send out trade offers to try to get Cam Akers.
Yes, and the one bright spot, A.J. Dillon, we talk about him all the time, 28 for 161 and two.
He's a tank.
The only issue is the NFL game is changing, and I don't know if he fits into what the NFL is playing right now. So that's my only struggle. He could fall into that Derrick Henry-type trap.
Just going to say Derrick Henry. Yeah.
Yeah, where it's just a big dude that is just a monster of a man that doesn't fit into the NFL.
Tim, you got any observations from college this weekend?
I do. I watched a good bit of college, and the one kid that caught my eye that I wanted to bring up on the podcast, number 17 from Syracuse, Jamal Custis. He is a receiver for them. He is listed at 6'5", 213 pounds. He was laser timed over the summer, running a 4.440, and they played Clemson this week. They lost. They kept it very close against one of the best teams in the nation, and this kid looked very, very strong. Athletic, can go up, high point the ball, strong hands, great body control. I was very impressed by what I saw out of Jamal here on Saturday. It's the first time I've actually got to lay eyes on him myself. So just a kid you want to keep your eyes on, your ears open. So far this season, 22 catches, 360 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So very productive. He's increased his workload every year. He's a senior this year. So again, just keep your ears open. You're going to continue to hear this person's name. And then come next spring when he's at the combine and he's going out there to run his 40 or he's running the gauntlet, you're going to be like, I know that kid's name from somewhere. And it'll just help you out. It'll help you when you're taking your notes and you're writing down all those stats from the combine next year and doing your grading.
Yeah, he looked good in that. I watched the Florida State Syracuse game for three quarters until I shut it off because Syracuse just dunked all over the holes. Yeah, but he did look good in that game too, so I like that one.
Yep. And the only reason why they kept up is because Trevor Lawrence got hurt and they played their their other quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, is still the next, the second coming.
Doesn't he have like super long, like hippie hair?
Yeah. The dude looks like
sidelines.
So the guy literally looks like a quarterback. Like if you had to imagine what a quarterback looks like, he looks like one. Like face shape, just cut jawline, like every good quarterback has. Like he's 6'6".
But Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have a cut jawline.
He looks like Sunshine from Remember the Titans.
That's true.
There you go.
Sunshine.
So let's freestyle it a little bit here and let's talk about week four. So right, I'll Doug. Kick us off.
Yeah, I was gonna say I
want to kick us off. So it's crazy the amount of 400-yard passes we're seeing this season.
Yes.
And
yes.
I like how everyone, there was a lot of people poo-pooing the zero RB strategy. And it's a passing league, guys. It's always been a passing league. And the wide receivers that are putting up great numbers, the quarterbacks are insane this year. I mean, we've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick go over 400 yards a couple times. We saw it today with Derek Carr. Thursday night, Jared Goff, like popping off. Mitchell Trubisky's 6 touchdowns today. Like, this is crazy. Like, I know last year, like, receivers numbers and passing yards were down, but it is on a total rebound this year. So we're at the quarter stick of the season. Do we think this is going to keep up, or do think as the weather starts to get colder and the season starts to go on a little bit more, it's going to regress a little bit? What are your thoughts on that?
No, it's going to keep going. And like Tim and I talked last week about Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara, I feel like I can't push them up anymore in my rankings, but I feel like they should be even higher just because they fit so perfect in today's NFL. These are
Barkley
two players.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just two players that aren't coming off the field. And like Tim and I were talking off air, if they can't run that week, they're going to still get completions. If they can't catch the ball and say it's the game script is running, they still get their rushes. They're literally a cheat code. You can't, like, Alvin Kamara, what he does is insane. And it's mind-blowing the stats he's put up for his first 20 games.
The most, this year through 4 games, he has the most PPR fantasy points ever through the first 4 games of a season.
I think in a standard PPR scoring, I'm disappointed if I get 25 points from him. Just how he's been putting up points. Like I'm sitting here, 25 points. What the heck happened, Kamara?
He's in my DraftKings lineup every week.
It's nuts. And if he keeps up the pace, even with Ingram coming back, which I think helps him in an efficiency standpoint, I just think he's going to outscore every running back a ton. And I don't think McCaffrey's going to be too far behind because McCaffrey, if he keeps doing what he does, he's going to have 100-plus catches.
Yeah. Hey, both of them are.
Oh, yeah. And easily. It's nuts. And, I mean, if you have a choice of the first running back to take in Dynasty, what are you taking?
You're asking who my first running back would be?
Yeah, both of you. Who would your guys' first running back be?
I'm still going to go with Todd Gurley.
Okay, but was it even close with Kamara?
Not yet.
No, I would still lean Gurley. Kamara's making a good case, but it's going to be interesting once Ingram does come back. I know that could potentially help Kamara. I'd still go with Todd. I think Todd's the dude.
Okay. Yeah, I actually completely agree. Just because that offense is unbelievable. I mean, just what they're doing is crazy.
They're supporting everything but their tight ends in that offense.
Sean McVay is, I don't know if he is Jesus, but
he might be Jesus.
I mean, I think Jesus at the right hand of God. McVay is sitting there to the left and just destroying defenses.
Nice. So we just compared Sean McVay to Jesus. Football Jesus.
Tyler that way.
With a beard like that? True. I mean, how fine and sharp is that beard? What kind of razor do you think he used?
I think they probably have a team barber that does it, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, usually NFL teams have like a barber in the locker room. They're probably like, Sean, let's get you all cut up and trimmed up.
Shape
and
then he's going to go.
Yeah.
You know who else has a barber in the locker room? Tampa Bay, who has no running game.
They do have a barber in the locker room. He's their starting running back for now.
Yeah, and Honestly, once again, Rojo, he finally saw the field, you guys.
I picked him up in a couple of redraft leagues when I heard the news. I was like, oh, let me take a speculative. I love to add players speculatively before the games kick off, and I added Rojo just because you never know.
Just hold. They played the second hardest running defense in the NFL, and that's when Tampa Bay decided, you know what, let's throw this rookie out. Let's give him some confidence. Hey, there you go. There's the Chicago defense and our horrid offensive line. Have fun.
They went from Fitzpatrick to Jameis real quick. So yeah. Now, they made that transition. I saw that coming.
Now, Jameis in a contract year, he should just play lights out. That's my guess. I just think Jameis is going to...
Well, there's a lot of things that we think Jameis should do from his career standpoint, but just hasn't. But, I mean, look at... So Jameis last year, over the last... I think it was 7 weeks, was a top five fantasy QB, right? So I love Jameis coming into this year, and then he gets the whole suspension thing with the Uber driver, and then Fitzpatrick looks amazing for 2.5 games. But yeah, Jameis, he's set up for success with Godwin, the two tight ends, hopefully O.J. Howard's fine, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson. If they can get any type of running game involved, the problem is with Tampa, their defense is so bad that they're being game scripted out of the run game. So they're going to be playing catch up a ton. So Jameis is probably going to be averaging 40 to 45 passes a game for the rest of the season. So that's my only thing with Rojo this year and Peyton Barber, who I still like. They're not going to get 15 touches a game because they're not using their running backs in the passing game because they have all these other weapons. And the game script is really going to hurt both of those guys this year. So you got to be patient and you got to hold.
Yep. And Rojo's still 21. I still think the buy window for Rojo is still there. I mean, you can get him for dirt cheap. I traded in our listener league, Philip Lindsay, straight up for Rojo.
Like, I like that.
I mean, I like Lindsay, but man, give me Rojo, who was taken in the first round of rookie drafts not 3 months ago.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I like Lindsay's talent too, but I mean, he's a smaller guy, and I mean, I thought he was going to be a flash in the pan after week one. I was like, there's no way he touches the ball 15 times with Royce Freeman there. And he keeps doing it, and then he gets ejected last week. It looks like he's going to play this week, though, on Monday night, so that's good. So it'd be interesting to see what he does against Kansas City, whose defense couldn't stop anything. They're just terrible. Fire up all your Broncos, boys.
Yeah. Easily. Speaking of rookie running backs, let's talk about some of the other guys in this class. I mean, we kind of hit on it earlier. Sonny Michel, he got the work there in New England today. 25 carries, over 100 yards, and a score.
Look good.
We finally got to see Nick Chubb. I mean, he only got, what, carries total? But
three carries for 100. Yeah,
his price good. Went up because I don't know how you cannot give him more carries after seeing what he did.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they scored 42 points, the Browns?
Yeah.
Today? And Chubb accounted for two touchdowns. Carlos Hyde doesn't have that type of ability. I'm sorry.
He doesn't have that speed. I mean, you saw Chubb in the open field, and he hit another gear breaking away from that defensive back.
And the moves that he made while he was running full speed was ooh, that was nice. Yeah, Carlos Hyde can't do that.
I can't wait for Nick Chubb. I can't wait to see 20-plus carry Nick Chubb.
Next year? You think it's next year? You think they move on from Carlos Hyde? He's not going to cost them anything to cut.
I have a gut feeling that Hyde might get hurt with the usage because we've seen that until last year when he played 16.
That is true.
So I just have a feeling like week 10, week 11, Chubb goes down. All right, Chubb goes in. Chubb goes in and takes over.
Very nice.
God, I love Chubb. Not the player.
Of course. Hey, and David Njoku looked pretty good today. He got caught some passes late. He breathed some life into him with Baker in there, which was nice. That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, Baker changes that offense a ton, and it makes it just watchable.
How about Amari Cooper, man? Every other week, it's like people are so frustrated with Amari Cooper.
Sell.
This week, sell. Next year, when he goes 2 for 13, he'll be like, bye.
No, just sell. I've been selling Cooper anywhere I had him, and I think I only had him in a league. Yeah. And I sold him for like DJ Moore and James Washington, and I was just like, done.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think if people are souring on Cooper, I would actually go out and buy him, but I'm more of a sycophant than you are. So
I'm staying away. I would trade him straight up for Corey Davis.
Yeah, let's talk about Corey Davis. So 15 targets today, game-winning touchdown today.
Which was a stud catch. I mean,
he had some wide receiver one swagger in that game today.
He looked like what everybody comped him to, A.J. Green. Like, he looked like A.J. Green in that last touchdown catch.
He had a great game-winning catch himself.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
But, by the way, not to shade from Corey Davis, but A.J. Green, I was watching the Atlanta game a lot. There was a play when he caught it and started running. I'm like, oh my God, it's John Ross. And it was A.J. Green. Like, he looked fast. I was like,
no, it's because you're like, if he caught it, did he get hurt? Which
was it, John, the groin for John Ross?
Yeah, he scores the touchdown, then he's like limping in the end zone. I'm like, oh, here we go. This is John Ross. This is the microcosm of John Ross.
Anytime he crosses a finish line or a goal line, his hammy just gives out.
He crosses lines. Lines are not good for John Ross.
No. That's why he doesn't cross the street. He just stays away.
Yeah, he could get a suspension for doing lines too. So it's not good.
As much as I didn't want to talk about Corey Davis and the Titans beating the Eagles, it came up in our staff chat this week. Guys were asking about Corey Davis. It came up with a guy at work this week. He was getting ready to drop Corey Davis in a redraft league he's in. And I said, just hold on. We saw Corey Davis flash at the end of last year. He was drafted by the Titans at a certain point for this reason. It will happen. Just be patient. I was hoping it wasn't going to be this week, but it was. He was an absolute stud this week, and that's what we all drafted him to be. So congratulations to the Corey Davis owners. Even more congratulations to the ones who somehow had him in your starting lineup. So great on you.
Yeah, because a lot of people were just sour on Corey Davis. I was talking to my cousin, and he was like, who would you start this week? And it was like Tariq Cohen, Corey Davis, or another player. And I was like, I really can't trust Corey Davis right now, and Tariq Cohen hasn't been good. And they both popped off, and the player that he started didn't score nearly as many points. I do want to talk about another Titans receiver. It's Taywan Taylor. 9 targets today. Rashard Matthews is gone, guys. He's bye-bye. This opens up. They're not using the tight end. I thought Jonnu Smith was going to be primed for a breakout role with no Delanie Walker. Has anyone seen Jonnu Smith? He's on a milk carton somewhere.
Jonnu dropped a couple passes a day. Not the best showing today.
I know. But Taywan Taylor, let me talk about him. 9 targets, 7 for 77. The kid's got playmaking ability. I love watching Taywan Taylor play football. I think this is going to be a trend. I think that he's going to average 5 or 6 catches a week and give you 60 to 75 yards. And he's got that touchdown upside as well. The kid can move in open space. And he's slippery in coverage, so he finds ways to get into the soft part of the zone and get open. Now that Marcus Mariota's elbow is looking a little bit better, he's still pushing the ball a little bit. It's not natural still. But once Marcus Mariota gets up to full strength and can start really kind of gunning it around the field, now he did pass for 350 yards today, but the healthier Mariota gets, the more you can rely on Taywan Taylor. So I love him seeing all these targets with Rashard Matthews out the door. Tarjay Sharp caught a touchdown today, which I was kind of hoping would be Taywan Taylor, but what do you got?
Coming here? Back, like all I see is the Undertaker gif, him popping out of the casket with Tarjay Sharp.
Yeah. The ghost of Tarjay Sharp.
Man, I still remember when he was a thing. No, with Mariota, God, just stop toying with us. Stop just, is he good? Is he bad?
He plays just a tip with his fantasy owners.
Man, like he looks so good today. And like he's still not 100%. So, I don't think we've seen the real Mariota. But like we see with offenses that are new, with new head coaches or our coordinators, they take time to fully gel. And hey, like as much as we all like Rashard Matthews, maybe he was actually the wrong thing about this offense. Maybe they just needed to get Davis more confidence and showing him that he's the one and Taylor's just the two.
And props to the Titans. I mean, you go out and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were minutes away from being in the Super Bowl themselves last year. And then you beat these Super Bowl champions this year. So the Titans have been playing really good football lately.
So just think about this. The Jags beat the Patriots, and the Titans beat the Jags. Does that mean the Titans are better than the Patriots?
I think we'll find out later this season. I think they play again. Because remember, the Pats blew them out in the playoffs. But
Yeah, they did.
And how about that? And I know we talked a little bit about Sony earlier, but I'll go off on my Patriots play calling. So, yes, you said Cordell Patterson – He did have a catch and run for a touchdown. But I am so goddamn sick and tired of Josh McDaniels, these bubble screens, forcing the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson. And it worked that one time, but it's so predictable. Like when you see him in the lineup and you're like, oh, here comes a bubble screen to Patterson or a jet sweep to Patterson. I'm going to be so glad when they get Julian Edelman back next week, who from all the reviews, there was a former player that's been working with him, and he said that Edelman looks awesome. So I think that once Edelman gets back, because Chris Hogan, you got to say he's been one of the most disappointing fantasy assets of the season.
Huge bust.
Easy.
Huge. And he was getting drafted in the late fourth and mid fifth, yeah, at least in redraft. Now in Dynasty, it's a little bit later because he's a little bit older.
Huge buy.
I think he might be. And, you know, when you have Edelman back, it's going to move Dorsett's role is going to change. You have Hogan across from Gordon. You got Gronk. Edelman changes the whole thing. And this is why having Sony Michel on your team, he's an RB2 for you every single damn week now, because Edelman is going to change the whole thing. And Michelle's going to get many more running lanes, because when Sony Michel's in the game, it's pretty predictable. 80% of the time he's touching the ball. So I think that they're going to move some things around a little bit. I think James White is still a solid player, but I think it's going to be, we saw it today, Michel getting 25 plus carries. Like, they're going to go to him. They're not like the Seattle Seahawks, who have a first round running back, and then they pull a guy off the street named Mike Davis because Chris Carson was out. And they're like, you know what? Let's give Mike Davis a start. But, you know, we spent a first round pick on Rashad Penny. Let's not give him any carries. What is Seattle doing? They are the most inept franchise right now when it comes to player talent. And it drives me crazy. I was like, oh, Mike Davis, another touchdown. Where's Rashad Penny? What are they doing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It worries me for Russell Wilson, just for how they kind of treat their players that hit 30 years old. It's almost like, oh.
Well, they do have Brandon Marshall.
Penny's not 30.
It, like with Earl Thomas, I mean, I know he gave the bird and all that. And I'm on Thomas's side, just how they treated him. And he's just been the heart and soul of that defense. He stayed there whenever everybody else was leaving. And all he wanted was to get an extension, and they didn't give him one. It's just like, come on.
And now he's got the injury, and then they have a reason to say no again.
Yeah, and it sucks. And it's just, it worries me about Russell Wilson, how they still aren't giving him offensive line help. They're still not giving him decent weapons. They're not, instead of Penny, go draft a guy, go draft a receiver.
Where was CJ Procise today?
I don't know. Who knows?
On the milk carton as well.
Oh my God.
Who knows where that whole
team. Somewhere they can use him. I still believe that he's a talent.
And it's like, look at the receivers this year. They could have taken James Washington, who would have been a phenomenal deep threat.
They could have taken Cortland Sutton instead of Rashad Penny.
Who Tim and I last week were going crazy over Dallas not taking him because
I think Sutton
won.
In side note, I think Sutton's going to pop tomorrow.
Oh, I agree. I think we're going to see a transition, Thomas to Sutton starting this week.
Like Bruce Jenner to Caitlin type of transition?
Yes, that's the best type of transition.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, no, there isn't. There isn't at all. I think, you know, this may be a little off topic, but I actually think that Caitlyn Jenner is better looking than Bruce Jenner. So you can at me if you'd like. It's fine. But yeah, Cortland Sutton, especially in that game, he's running. He played 80% of the snaps, I think, last week for Denver. And in this game, Denver's going to have to chuck it to keep up with Kansas City. So
hold on, Doug. You had both of us just leaning away from the mics.
I saw. That's fine.
All right. So let's talk football, right? Football.
I followed up with some Cortland Sutton analysis, guys. Come on, I'm staying on topic.
So staying with Denver, are we going to see Philip Lindsay start getting back on the tracks again and just looking better than Freeman?
Against Kansas City, yes. Although I think I think they both have the opportunity to have a nice game, but
also
is Royce Freeman just a guy?
Is everybody is talking how he's this year's Kareem Hunt?
Oh God, no!
Shouldn't you be worried about that? Because Kareem Hunt does not look good to me.
And if you own Kareem Hunt, you should be worried.
That I'm just gonna say it. Spencer Ware looks better than Kareem Hunt out in the open field.
Well, here's the thing. They're just not using Kareem Hunt in the passing game whatsoever. And they're just, they're up so much. I mean, it's just Kareem Hunt. He was one of my biggest players to stay away from. And
me too.
Well, you went from Alex Smith, who had no problem playing things safe and checking down your tight ends and your receivers out of the backfield, to this kid Mahomes, who is just
no fear.
Let's see how far down the field I can actually chuck this football. And guess what? I have some of the fastest receivers in the game who are going to go chase this thing down for me. So it's
Tim's thinking Chris Conley right now. That's all he's thinking.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
Tyreek Hill first and then Chris Conley. But, you know,
just how right dare you disrespect Watkins Sammy guy. Watkins? How dare you?
Tim's probably thinking, Sammy's on the team. All I see is Chris Conley.
Yeah, it's 17 Chris Conley, for me, baby. Number 17,
Chris Conley, the new Dante Moncrief. Oh.
Hey, Moncrief had a game today.
I know.
He
did.
He played all right. What do you have? Was it just one or was it two scores?
I think he had two.
Did he have two?
All I know is he needs to quit playing games with my heart.
With my heart.
Just don't go chasing waterfalls, Tim.
I've been chasing that Conley waterfall for a few years now.
And underrated movie with the chasing waterfalls is The Other Guys.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. You guys just got to creep.
So good.
You just got to creep.
I just got to creep, guys.
One of my favorite parts of that movie is when their chief, Michael Keaton, he's sitting there and he goes, "All right, guys, we got a big day today. Something huge is happening. The new bath mats are in." And he's got the Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah.
The apron on. And then I love it. You guys here for the new bath mats? All right.
I love it when he's at dinner. Mark Wahlberg's at dinner with his and he meets Will Ferrell's wife for the first time.
Yes.
And he's like, "Oh my God, she's so beautiful." He's like, "This old hag?" And he's like, just totally like making fun of her.
Why don't you go put something nice on?
You put something nice on. You look like a hobo. it just kills me.
Another one of my favorite parts, Michael Keaton's hilarious in this movie, is when they go to the two deceased officers and they get in a fight and then they have to whisper scream at each other.
"All right, you guys, what's going on here?"
he's acting like he's screaming.
It is so good. Hey, can we talk? So can we talk about one of my favorite subjects for a second?
Yeah,
desk popping.
I do love a good desk pop. But no, it's Aaron Jones.
Oh, yes.
They need to keep feeding Aaron Jones. Go ahead, Tyler.
So, can we play the sad confessional music right now and about how I was wrong about Jamal Williams? Aaron Jones looks so much better than Jamal Williams on the field.
Oh my God!
It's not even close. Aaron Jones,
day, my friend.
I'm gonna say it. He looks like Devonta Freeman. He looks a lot like Devonta Freeman, going
just not as beefy on the on the lower half.
Yeah, I agree. But just his vision and how his acceleration, his burst,
cutting ability is hella nice, as the kids say.
If he gets anywhere up to 15 plus carries, he is going to be a running back too in fantasy, and it's going to be good.
Yeah, he touched the ball 12 times today for 82 yards and a score.
Yep.
Against the Buffalo defense they're not the greatest defense, but you can tell when Aaron Jones runs, like, he's making things happen. It's not just running through wide open holes. Like, this kid has just a boatload of talent. So yep. I've been an early adopter of Aaron Jones for a very long time, and I own him in a ton of spots. So to see him come in, you know, he looked good last week in a limited role. To see that role increase, Aaron Rodgers talked him up this week quite a bit. Like, "Hey, I want this kid should touch the ball more. You know, he's electric in space." And I was like, staring at my computer, drooling.
Yeah,
But
the worst part about watching Aaron Rodgers talk is staring at his deep, dark, dead eyes, because I just feel like he's
like a shark.
I think he's the biggest douche in the league, personally. But
you look into his eyes and you just feel nothing. Like, he's probably just thinking, "What the hell am I going to do with Danica tonight? I don't care." Sorry, I'm not a Rodgers fan, if you can't tell.
I'm not a Danica fan either. So I'm going to double down on this Rodgers hate. Let's go.
Neither should Rodgers. I mean, have you seen her walk to her car?
Do you think that when they go out, if Danica drives?
Oh my God. I don't know if she can fit those. Never mind. We'll just move it.
Oh, I love getting off topic with you guys. It's so amazing.
It doesn't take much to get us off topic, sadly.
Hey, so did you Danica guys... Patrick player of the week? We should make this a segment.
Did you guys see Josh Rosen's second half for the Cardinals today?
Look good.
He did look good. So the first half, he only had like 58 yards passing, and I was like, "L."
Yeah.
But he started slinging it in the second half. He ended 15 for 27 for a 180 and a touchdown. But the throw he made to Chad Williams in the end zone was like the only place Chad Williams could catch it, and thankfully he did. They had another one overturned earlier in the game for Chad Williams. So there's a guy that a lot of people have been kind of waiting for out of Grambling.
A hanging Chad.
Tim included. People on the Cardinals compare him to Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Sure. Yeah. They can go ahead and do that because I don't
the
see
the Cardinals actually had this guy named David Johnson who was actually mildly productive today as well, finally.
Wait, who? Is he a rookie?
I almost never heard of this guy before.
I kept
looking at the stat line like
Is he a white guy? He's got a white guy's name, David Johnson. Is he white?
Davis Johnson.
I think he's a smaller black fella, real shifty. Seems like he's a really good football player, though.
So, dude,
I'll have to look into this David Johnson character. He sounds intriguing.
I don't live too far away from where he's from, so don't call him smaller.
He will hunt you down. I've met David Johnson. He's not a smaller.
Compared to, you know, Derrick Henry? Yeah. Smaller.
Jesus, you're going top of the mountain comparing.
Let's go.
That's true. It was nice to see them get the ball in David Johnson's hands. And looks like Mike McCoy is actually making an attempt to be a...
Yeah. Hey, this guy's really good at football. OC. He's our best football player. He's our best weapon. Mm-hmm. Let's attempt to get him touches.
Let's preach them getting David Johnson the ball and Dallas actually using Zeke.
He's their best receiver. Dallas stinks.
Zeke was an absolute animal today. Dude, I thought he was going to be after he pretty much blamed last week's loss on himself. So I know it's a little bit narrative street, but I was like, you know what? Zeke is going to show up this
game though too. He was the best player in that game as well.
Oh, absolutely. Zeke is amazing. I think it's funny too, because you know, with the rise of like Kamara and McCaffrey and Gurley, like Zeke is, people are just like not as excited about Zeke anymore,
yeah.
But which is silly.
Jerry knows what he's doing. He said he can do anything the Rams can do. I mean, he's comparing himself to the Rams.
The Jeff Fisher Rams, sure.
You didn't see that press conference where Jerry literally was like, we can do things the Rams can do. Tavon was on their team last year. Now he's on our team. It's like, oh my God, this guy's the stupidest
Jerry Jones needs to retire.
It's the worst.
That's another team with better management. That Dallas Cowboys team could actually be an issue for people.
It pains me because I like Dak. Dak's a good quarterback, and it pains me to see him struggle with no weapons.
You've seen it. It's an every other week thing with them so far. Week one, they looked terrible. They came out week two and just started.
Yeah, they looked good.
Looked like they were going to start jumping all over people. Week three, I was expecting to see a little bit more of that, you know, high octane offense, and just came out and stunk it up. And then this week and the second half of last week's game, Zeke just decided, like, if nobody else is going to do anything, I'm going to do it. He was breaking tackles, making guys miss in the hole, getting those extra yards. And then this week he comes out and is an absolute monster out of the backfield, you know, with the ball in his hands running. And then he's their best receiving option, which stinks because they made a bunch of offseason acquisitions for wide receivers and they suck.
Yeah. I still can't believe they traded Ryan Switzer. I'm still mad about that.
Yeah, who is actually getting playing time for the Steelers. Like, you see him.
Yeah, he's got a handful of catches. He's returning punts, too.
He's pretty much, if they can't run the ball, he is what they need for 5 yards. That is Ryan Switzer.
So yeah. I want to talk about the Steelers a little bit because I think this is a hot-button topic in Dynasty. Do we think that Antonio Brown has been, I would say, a bit of a disappointment this year? I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
You know, from his regular expectations of like, you know, 8 to 9 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown every other week. We've got Juju, who started the season with 3 straight 100-yard games. He's not really on pace for that tonight. But do you think there's a transition here? Or are you guys still buying Antonio Brown in Dynasty? Or if you own him, are you getting a little antsy? Because he just turned 30. They seem to be going to Juju a little bit more. Like, what's your guys' thoughts on this? I'm interested to hear.
For so long, it was Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown that you couldn't consistently double Antonio. Because if you consistently doubled Antonio, Le'Veon Bell was going to rip you apart. Now, you know, Connor's doing just fine as a running back. He's not Le'Veon Bell, though. So I think teams are just completely taking Antonio Brown away. We're going to just stop him. He's not going to beat us. And Ben's smart enough to not force it in to Antonio every other play, because Juju is a very highly skilled wide receiver in his own right. So he'll just feed Juju, and Connor's going to do what Connor can do, which is decent enough. It's not going to be otherworldly. And it just kind of leaves Antonio sitting there and on the plays where he beats double coverage, which even for the best receiver in the world, you're not beating double coverage every play.
No,
but Tyler and I were talking before we started recording tonight. Antonio Brown is on Jerry Rice's level. And I love Jerry. I think Jerry Rice is the GOAT, but Antonio Brown is nearing that level. He's that good of a football player, but you're not going to beat double teams every play, every game. It's you can't do
unless you're Julio Jones, who destroys double teams.
Julio Jones doesn't destroy the end zone.
He has 500 plus yards this season.
He's going to have an 1800 yard year, and he's not going to score.
I don't care. You want to know why? Because Calvin Ridley looks legit, you guys.
This is 2 weeks in a row. He looks crazy good.
So he's scored more touchdowns than he did his junior year in college.
Oh, wow.
What's great about Calvin Ridley doing this is it's going to force teams to stop doubling Julio, will eventually
because they're going to see Ridley as a threat. Yeah.
If they keep throwing touchdowns to Calvin when they get in the red zone, teams will lean a little, further towards Calvin's side, and it's eventually got to happen, you would think, for Julio.
So the thing is, people sit here and complain about Julio's touchdowns all the time. Why are they not talking about DeAndre Hopkins and how much Will Fuller's taking away from him?
Because every other game, Will Fuller gets hurt.
That's true. But, I mean, if it's such an
Hopkins
issue.
Hopkins also scores consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, when you see Fuller getting a touchdown or two each week.
The only time Hopkins didn't score is when they had just garbage quarterback play. Other than that, Hopkins always scores.
For me, it doesn't matter with Julio. I mean, he's going to be a top 10 receiver in PPR. I mean, and if you play standard and you're depending on touchdowns, then stop playing standard, because standard is trash. I'm sorry. I can't stand that scoring. But even 0.5 PPR, Julio's a stud. He's going to get his catches. And he looks phenomenal this year. And I would be worried about him attitude-wise with the whole Ridley touchdown. But he's the first to celebrate with Calvin Ridley, which I love to see. Julio's right
in
there.
The same exact shoes.
That's true. When Roddy White was there,
exactly what Calvin Ridley's doing.
Yep.
Julio came to Alabama, so they have to be friends.
Yeah, that too.
They have to be friendly, right? Like Crimson Tide thing, Roll Tide.
Yeah.
But I mean, that offense. Can we talk about a switch from week one to two through four?
It's all Ito Smith. He's the reason.
Oh my god! I'm so happy I picked him up in so many leagues.
Yeah, I got him in a bunch too.
I could gush about this Atlanta offense. Mohamed Sanu still doing work. Steve Sarkisian, I am shocked.
Is he
like,
forgiven?
Is
he forgiven?
A little, not quite.
Okay, all right,
not quite. Right. But fair. He's heading in the right direction. Because
the second Julio gets a touchdown, all is forgiven. He will amount to sainthood
in week 11.
Yeah. But the thing is if it's working, why fix it? I mean, Matt Ryan is doing work. Ridley is catching touchdowns. Julio is destroying between the 20s, and it's working. Like, just keep it rolling. Like, we're in shootouts all the time and we keep losing, but hey.
Well,
like,
we know that. I mean, once you lost Deion Jones and Keanu Neal, you knew that defense and Ricardo Allen, you know that defense was going to be a sieve. So
our two safeties are probably one of the two most important players in that defense, that Dan Quinn defense, which is Seattle, which they had Chancellor. And they had Earl Thomas, and Ricardo Allen played the Earl Thomas, even though he's small, but that dude did work in that role. Mm-hmm. And Keanu Neal is the Cam Chancellor. You took those two out of the Legion of Boom. That defense sucks. I mean, we saw it with Chancellor. Yeah, it destroyed. And then plus you take Bobby Wagner, who is Deion Jones plays in that defense.
Yep.
Oh, that defense looks horrible.
Well, that's why I like the Falcons passing game, because they're going to be trading shots just like they did today with Cincinnati. And Tyler Boyd was the apple of Andy Dalton's eye once again down the stretch. He targeted Tyler Boyd on almost every passing play in the fourth quarter. it was he was looking at Tyler Boyd the whole time, and Boyd caught, I think, 3 out of 4 passes on that drive. And man, he looked really good.
So
he looked really good.
I don't know if you guys saw my tweet earlier this week about Tyler Boyd, and I posted my Dynasty Nerds first article that I wrote.
I did see that, yeah.
And Tyler Boyd was my 102. I took shots for it, but when I watched him, he was just a do-to-everything player and reminded me a lot of Keenan Allen. I got a lot of grief for it, but he was a possession guy that ran great routes. He had quick feet. He wasn't the fastest guy, but he got the job done. He's 6'2", about 205 pounds. So he's not as tall as Keenan Allen, but he's close.
It's close.
And it's good to see him pan out, because I got destroyed in the past for liking Tyler Boyd. And even on our podcast, I got destroyed by a guest. And it feels good to see him produce. I know we all have players that we like and that we get kind of poo-pooed on. And it's just good to see them pan out. Yeah, it took 3 years, but hey, maybe some take
better late than never, as they say.
That is true.
Well, it used to be the wide receiver was the third-year breakout, right?
Yeah, like Devontae. Devontae Parker. Where is he?
He was inactive today. That's where he was.
Did he hurt his finger again? Or
I'm so done with Devontae Parker.
You should be. God, what?
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
That 80-inch wingspan. Like, he could go on and fly himself out of that stadium for all I care.
I think he got his wings clipped. He's just flapping. He can't do anything but flap. Oh, do you guys have anybody else that you wanted to bring up tonight?
Yeah, we cover most people I had notes on.
Yeah, just go buy Delvin Cook. He is cheap. Cheap. And he will be fine.
I'm going to agree with that. And now that I thought about it, I think Cook does have more carries than Fournette this year.
Yeah.
So to circle
and
back.
Fournette, like I said, he seems like he's a good buy candidate. And yeah, if you believe like Doug and Tim do, I'm not quite there. Aaron Jones is a buy candidate. And honestly, 2019 picks, if you're stacked at receiver, trade for running back. Use those first and trade for running back, like a Delvin Cook. Maybe do a first plus and get Delvin Cook. Would you guys give a first for Aaron Jones? If your team is a stud team and you're giving your first in the 12-team league?
Yeah, I would say I'd give a late first for Aaron.
Yeah, I would probably first.
I love Aaron Jones, but yes, I would,
give a late first. In my home dynasty league, I've been peddling my 2019 first. It's a salary cap league with contract years, so there's a lot of moving parts to it. I'm going to be really tight against the cap next year. I've been trying to peddle my 2019 first for some affordable players like Cooper Kupp. Is like $720,000 on a $115 million cap. I was trying to get Kenny Golladay, Chris Godwin, Hunter Henry even, and no one wants my 2019 first plus for any of these players, because the 2019 first value will probably be at like $1.8 million on the salary cap. So I'm finally playing with some owners that understand, like, hey, if you have Chris Godwin for $720,000, that's probably a good value.
Yeah, and they probably realize the class, it might not be as good as we all hope. So
I might have to settle for an Aaron Jones type for that first round pick, I think, which is fine. Like I'm deep at running back, but whatever.
Yep.
So first world problems. That's all I'm going to say. That roster's stacked. So first world problems. So that is going to wrap us up for the Dynasty Happy Hour. Just want to thank Trophy Smack one more time. Make sure you use code DHHRING for your free ring when you order a trophy through them. Also, Sitter Start, thank you. And make sure you check out the patreon.com page /DynastyHHPod. You get to have an extra episode. We're waiting. McFly. Make sure you go on there and check it out. I've been your host, Doug Eddy, my co-host, Tyler Gunthener, and Tim Keller. I will see you guys in a couple weeks. It'll be Tyler rolling solo next week on the DHH pod. Tyler, are you up for it?
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to play it riding solo the whole time. Just on repeat in the background.
Play some Riding Dirty, some Chamillionaire.
I was thinking Ride It Solo, Jason Derulo. I think that's who it is.
Yeah, that is the solo song. Or you could just have the movie Solo on in the background, maybe.
Or I could just have Jabba the Hutt.
Or you could have the original Solo movie with Mario Van Peebles in the background.
I was thinking Jabba the Hutt talking to Han Solo in the background.
Basuta Solo.
Yeah. Una nina holo Han Solo.
And Salacious Crumb just laughing. All right, we've gone off the rails. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you leave a review on iTunes. We'll see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH underscore Tim, Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.